The Whole Health Cure with Dr. Sharon Berquist, the podcast that brings you inspiration and skills for living a healthy and fulfilled life.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us on The Whole Health Cure. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Berquist. On this podcast, we explore the science behind true health and living a physically, emotionally, and spiritually fulfilled life. Today, we're going to be talking about innovative healthcare delivery models and how they can truly impact wellness. Our guest is Dr. Brian Hill. Dr. Hill is co-founder, president, and chief medical officer of Hip Nation. He's also a practicing physician with Georgia Urology Specialists of Atlanta and has extensive background in healthcare policy. He's a delegate to the Medical Association of Georgia Annual House of Delegates, and he's been selected to the League of Leaders with the Institute of Healthcare Consumerism. He's written numerous articles on healthcare reform. Dr. Hill, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here, Sharon. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, so I want to start talking about how you got involved in healthcare policy. What motivated you? And tell us a little bit about some of the work that you've done.
Sure. So I'm one of those really annoying people that I knew I was always going to be a doctor since I was a little child. My wife still gives me grief. She says I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. So always loved medicine, always was going to be interested in going down the pathway. But kind of like we were talking about just off mic, I've always been interested in leaving more behind. There's always been that kind of legacy perspective as well. And so I love the exam room. I love medicine. I love that interaction and engagement with patients. To be able to, the exam room is kind of my sanctuary. But the reality is that if you really want to create big impacts in the world, sometimes you have to step out of the exam room. And so I've always been down that pathway. The real impetus, the real big push, I believe physicians are called to do something unique and wonderful in the world, provide great care to patients. And we spend a lot of time early in our lives learning how to do that. We go through medical school. We go through residency. And I spent 10 years of my life going through trying to learn how to be a good doctor. And what's the first course you take when you come out of medical school and residency? Huh? Coding and billing. And it's when I started realizing that all the work that I had been doing, all of my dreams of a youth was, how do I take care of people and provide great care to people? And then you started realizing that maybe there's a lot of other people that are telling me how I'm supposed to be taking care of people. And so that was my real big impetus coming out of residency, was the realization that there was a lot more to medicine than just providing care to people. There were a lot of other people in the way. And so that was the big drive to step out and go, how do we really get healthcare back to what it was that I saw when I was a little kid? You know, how do we make healthcare about doctors taking care of patients?
Yeah. And how did you get started?
So interesting. I came out of residency and started working and became frustrated because of high cost, access issues. I mean, you look around and most people will tell you pretty readily that there's not too many people happy with healthcare. And so when I started seeing that, I looked around at the state level and said, how can I get involved at the state level and locally in trying to help direct some policy, you know, at the state? And so I engaged with some local policy think tanks and started providing the physician perspective. A lot of things you'll find at think tanks are wonderful people, but they try to find specialization in certain areas, whether it's tax policy or, you know, transportation policy. And, you know, being able to be a physician who understands the exam room, you know, really where healthcare happens, with an interest in policy, just gave a unique foray to step into the place of think tanks and policy, you know, arena to really try to help give that patient perspective and really give them a better idea about what healthcare should be.
Yeah. And of the input that you provided, did you find that it was implemented? Was it kind of political? Did you find that sometimes it wasn't really productive? Or what was your experience with it?
Yeah, you're nail on the head. It was the difficulty and the reality that spent a lot of time, and a lot of this was for me learning. You know, we've been through medical school and we learn how to take care of people. And so some of that time was me going back and researching, you know, policy and human behavior and health economics. And a lot of the time was being able to sit around with thought leaders in healthcare. And so kind of me was assimilating. And we put out white papers and realized that there really wasn't much change despite white papers being out there. There were a lot of other influences outside of doing what was right. My wonderful thing I like to put out there is that policy is how do you fix things? Politics is how do you take good policy and transform it into something that helps you get elected? And so I spent a lot of time, you know, both in D.C. and at the Capitol here, beating my head against the forehead of walls in the Congress and in the Capitol here and getting nothing but a bloody forehead. And so that was really the drive to move outside of policy and trying to tell others how to fix healthcare, how to create white papers, how to sit in conferences and have conversations, and instead go, well, maybe we need to do something different. You know, maybe we need to fix it ourselves.
Yeah. And so when you worked in policy, what did you find to be the most broken parts of our healthcare system?
The system itself. So interestingly, so I would say the construct.
That's a pretty big question.
It's a big question. But if you take a global look at healthcare, everybody has a tendency to take a look at healthcare through different lenses. You know, we talk about cost, quality, and access. When you really took a look at policy at the three-legged stool of healthcare, we got to drive down costs, we got to improve access, we got to get rid of some of the disparities in care. Everybody kind of took a look at those three items, and the conversation was always, you can't fix all three, right? Something has to give. You can't get better quality at less cost. You can't improve access at less cost. If you have more access, then quality maybe has to diminish. And so everybody kind of looked at this three-legged stool and found it was unbalanced. And that's because they were looking at the healthcare system the way it was. Right? It's based upon a third-party payer mix, whether it's commercial insurance, whether it's a public insurance player like Medicare or Medicaid. You know, there was a third-party payer that collected money from either individuals or employers or through taxation and managed that money of resources to go pay healthcare. And that was the brokenness of the system, is that there were too many people getting their hands in the pie of healthcare, too many people telling physicians how to provide healthcare, too many costs going to managing the system and too little going to patients. Yeah. And so we figured, let's actually, instead of trying to find a cost fix or a quality fix or an access fix, let's take a look at the enchilada and fix the whole thing. Let's just break the model back down, create a better economic delivery model, and do what healthcare needs to have.
Which is, you know, kudos to you. I think it takes a lot of innovation to do something like that. And your solution ended up being HIP Nation. So tell us a little bit about HIP Nation. How does that work?
Sure. So it's a simple thought. And a simple thought leads to drastic outcome differences sometimes. And the simple thought was, well, if health insurance, which oftentimes has become synonymous with health care, is embedded in every single aspect of healthcare, everything from a cough, a cold, and a sniffle, all the way out to a heart attack, a cancer diagnosis. If health insurance is embedded in every single one of those places, well, every single one of those places are going to become really expensive. And there's going to be a lot of people with hands in the pie every step along the way. And so we said, well, let's take this aspect of health insurance with an understanding that health insurance should be there for protection against the rare, high-cost, catastrophic events. There should be protection against the 20% of people that are born with disease processes in our society that, you know, that need some level of insurance to help cover them. Let's take that idea of insurance aside and let's create a membership-based model for healthcare. Let's get insurance out of the cough, the colds, and the sniffles. Let's get it out of the outpatient space of healthcare where maybe it shouldn't exist. And so we create a membership model for primary care, where our primary care physicians only see 700 people instead of the normal panel of 2,500 to 3,000. They take care of 8 to 10 patients a day. They can spend an hour and a half to 2 hours with a new patient to have a conversation about the entirety of their care. And without insurance in the space there, the average primary care doctor has 4 full-time equivalent employees that are there to code and bill and prior authorize and do all those industry things, all those people go away. And now healthcare becomes a lot less expensive. And then we extended that out into the outpatient space with the reality that the magic wand of insurance makes everything expensive. And we did direct contracting for labs and imaging and pharmaceuticals, for surgical consultations, specialty consultations, surgical care, ambulatory procedures. And the remarkableness is when you take insurance out of that, you create true price transparency, and the price of that health care drops drastically because all those hands are out of the pie.
You know, and it's really just remarkable thinking that without the insurance as the middleman, what a difference. I mean, that's almost your primary care doctors are seeing a third of the volume. And that's how lean the system can be without the excess costs built in with health insurance. And ditto with the staffing model and the transparency, that's a really big issue, I think, with a lot of testing and procedures that we perform. It's not only priced, I think, higher than true cost, but it's very hard for people to know before they get a test what the cost is going to ultimately be, you know, even if they seek out that information from their insurer.
Yep.
I think a lot of people have been in this position where they've done their homework, they think they took all the appropriate steps, and yet they still get a bill for some unanticipated expense that, you know, they could not have in any way forecasted. So I think, you know, there's so much merit to this transparency.
Yes.
And the flexibility to really spend the time with the patients again.
Well, the beauty of it, and we look at healthcare really as a relationship. And so the issue that comes when we have insurance in every aspect, especially within the primary care space, is that it interrupts that relationship. And so just the economic numbers in the healthcare world right now is that in the healthcare system, there's about 10 full-time equivalent employees per doctor that don't do anything to help that doctor take care of a patient. They're there to deal with the insurance industry, the coding and the billing, the consultants, the claims denial processes, their executives. All of those people don't help doctors keep patients well. And so one, like I said, that makes it very expensive. But the second thing that it does, and I think this is really the part that makes me as a doctor very happy, because I believe we were called to love and care for patients and engage with them in a relationship, is that it makes those doctors, because healthcare becomes so expensive to provide, it makes those doctors see those 25 to 40 people a day. It makes those doctors have to manage a panel of 3,000. And most doctors will tell you that I can't help a patient get better when I'm spending 7 to 10 minutes with them in my office trying to manage their health care. But right now I have to in order to keep up with the cost of me providing that care. And so that drives down the quality of care that's being delivered. It disrupts the physician-patient relationship. It doesn't allow our patients to be as well as they could be. And so the value of this is not only getting the dollars out of the office and making healthcare more affordable, more accessible, but also the care gets astronomically better, because now our patients and physicians can engage in a pure relationship where, as you mentioned when we were talking, the physician can be a teacher, just not at the episode that the person is in front of them, but then can actually continually engage on a regular routine basis, because they don't have to worry about a patient load of 25 to 30 people the next day when they just finished a patient load of 25, 30 the day before. They have time where they can reach out to their patients and engage and interact with their patients, make sure they're following the care plans that we've set out before them. So it creates a remarkable platform of care, and that's medicine.
And I think the importance of what you're doing is that there are a lot of people in this country who, even with health insurance, find healthcare unaffordable, mm-hmm. or are afraid of utilizing their insurance because of high deductibles, because of unforeseen costs. And they even forgo preventive testing out of that concern. And what's incredible is you're not only offering better quality care because of the time factor. And I'm such a big believer that the biggest value we can provide to patients is really time, because mm-hmm. some things just simply can't be rushed. You know, if you don't really get a grasp of what is bothering a patient, we really are not very effective. We end up ordering a lot of tests.
Yes.
And those tests are not a substitute for truly problem solving. And the other really critical piece is there are a lot of people who can't even afford health insurance on the health insurance exchange.
Yes.
And what you're offering is a lower cost, higher quality model that is really just saying, what if we took insurance out of this altogether? And so far as you've now started this, how long have you guys been running this company?
We started about 18 months ago, actually taking care of patients. We took about 5 years to build it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of regulations within the healthcare space in order to build things out. And so, you know, the interesting thing in healthcare, and we find this as we've been out and about, is that people are really conditioned to think about health insurance and healthcare as the same thing. And to try to break down that conditioning, that mindset, takes some time to get there. And so whether it was us trying to partner with physicians and grow our physician community to make them start thinking differently about what it really means to provide health care. So it took a little time to put together, but 18 months we've been actively engaged in participating in patients' lives and feel very blessed to be doing what we are to take and care of them and make them well.
Yeah. And what types of feedback or response have you gotten so far?
It's awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, we talk about being fulfilled in medicine, and I'll throw this, one of our founding partners is a healthcare attorney. You need that to work in the space of creating innovative and disruptive delivery models in healthcare, because there's a lot of people that are going to come shooting at you and you're going to have a lot of targets. So his name is Davis Butler, and Davis helped put this together. And Davis was in the office the other day, and we had a patient that came by that said, "I'll do anything for you guys. I love what you're doing. This is a remarkable thing." And he's somebody that has a closed head injury, former C-suite, trying for a triathlon and wrecked his bike and had a closed head injury and has lost his job and is working through that. And in the healthcare system, he was paying $1,500 a month in medications. He was taking them every third day. He was scrimping on them. He was passing on some because he couldn't afford it. And he joined us and started participating with us, and we're very blessed to be tied into some pharmacists that are actively engaged within our community. And they were able to knock his medication price down to $100, because we see that part of medicine should be do no financial harm, not just no physical harm, the do no harm mentality. And so he was there to do a video for us, and he actually gave Davis a hug, because he was one of the people that helped found this model for him to be able to provide the care that he needs. And that's pretty cool. And Davis, as a lawyer, went, "Boy, man, I get to see what you guys get in the exam room when you help participate in making people's lives better." He just made an indelible impression on him. That's pretty cool.
That is so gratifying. What a great story. And, you know, even a lot of employers, so it's obviously well known that for a lot of companies, healthcare is the biggest expense. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of even Fortune 500s have posted their data, and a lot of pretty, you know, well-known names like Warren Buffett are looking at models that really, you know, contract directly with physicians and physician groups without insurance as a middleman. Do you see this type of model just growing, expanding? Like, why isn't there more of this?
So more is in the space of innovation. So there's a great country song. I'm not much of a country fan, but it's a good country song. No problem with country. It's from Southwest Georgia. And it's a song about a town where everybody walks backwards. Born walking backwards, conditioned to walk backwards, told that they're supposed to walk backwards. And the problem is that there was a cliff at the edge of the town. So, of course, every country song has to have a problem. So people will fall over the cliff. And so there was an industry built around that town to help them walk backwards better. Give them a little flashing lights when they got close to the cliff, better rearview mirrors to see when the cliff became close. And so not only was the town conditioned to walk backwards, but the whole industry that was built around them did well financially to make sure that they continued to walk backwards. The reality is that the town needs to be walking forwards. And then you use technology to run. And so we're trying to fight against the conditioned response of an economic system in healthcare where people are taught to walk backwards and then are being further told that that's the right way to walk by the industry built around it. And so the why of people don't do things innovatively is because you only know what you know. And when the rest of the world's telling you you're doing it the right way, it's hard to break out that mold. We want people to walk forwards. And I hope that Warren Buffett and Jamie Arnold and Jeff Bezos and the group that is trying to step out and do some innovative things in healthcare does it in a way that doesn't look at the current broken system and follow that pathway. They've got some interesting people. Atul Gawande now is set up and is now the head of that project. Hopefully they don't follow the broken pattern of the same system and do the same thing over again and just throw a little technology on it. Hopefully they start walking forwards. But we'll see. I'm just happy that we're walking forwards.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And one of the innovative things about your model is that you also have a wellness coach and a dietitian. So you not only offer, you know, the ability to create this wonderful relationship with the physician and the time and the accessibility and the affordability, but you go beyond what is offered in a typical healthcare setting by having the dietitian and well coach. How do you integrate them into the care that people receive.
Yeah, so the beautiful thing is, instead, there's so much money wasted in healthcare that has nothing to do with taking care of patients. So if I pay my coder and biller $60,000 to do coding and billing, she doesn't make my patients any better. I replace her with a dietitian, my spending money in a much better way now. So there's finances able to do this. It's just that they're being spent wrongly. You know, and so what we do is we are able to access and utilize those dietitians and wellness coaches to help engage and participate with the physician as part of the care plan. And so now you've got multiple people being able to reach out and touch into the patient space to make sure, one, that they're following the care plan set out by the physician. The physician has a support around them, you know, of dietitians and health and wellness coaches to make sure that they're able to create a more robust team, you know, focused around the patient, because as you mentioned before, 80% of the diseases in our society are from lifestyle choices. And it's not that people are doing them necessarily following bad lifestyle choices because they don't know. Most of us know. But some of it's because there's not a relationship there. You don't give people the empowerment that they need. And I think we can do that by expanding the care team to really focus on the patient and put the patient back in the center of healthcare.
And it's such an important part of healthcare. I mean, I think we have a system that is so focused on managing disease, i.e., here's a prescription, we're monitoring the different measures. For example, if you're diabetic, here's your hemoglobin A1C. But we don't invest as a system in the prevention part of it. You know, we do preventive screening tests, but prevention is far more complex than checking a box, if you will, of preventive tests. It's a whole lifestyle. And by embedding that within healthcare, the expectation really is that we invest in wellness during the visit as opposed to talk about sickness.
Yes.
And do you find that the people who are involved in HipNation, are they more engaged in living a healthier lifestyle? Do you see a difference in motivation?
Yeah, without a doubt. And interesting, always anecdotal stories, but wonderful stories. We were just talking the other day with one of our physicians, Dr. Shake, and she had a wonderful couple that were just short of the, you know, morbidly obese side of the street, smart couple, attorney. And they said, you know, we know we're supposed to be healthy. We just haven't been able to get there. And so she started out a care plan of a six-month window to try to, you know, get the weight down to where they thought it was acceptable. And by 3 months, they had met their six-month weight goals. And they dropped their antihypertensives by half. And if you ask them why, because we did, they went, it was the relationship. It was that not only when I was in the office that I speak with Dr. Shake about what do I need to do on the dietary side. Not only did she recommend a dietary-based plan, not only did we start creating an exercise-based regimen, but she actually called me a week later to make sure that I had gotten the book that she had talked about off Amazon. And then she made me call 2 weeks later to make sure I was following the diet plan, and called me a month later to make sure that we were following the weight loss plan. And when I was losing the weight, she acted as a cheerleader for me to continue to motivate me and carry that along. And that just became an accelerating-based process. And so it was the beauty of that relationship and the trust that comes with relationships and the engagement on a regular routine basis, not episodically, not come back and see me in 6 months later and hopefully you follow the diet plan. And if not, all right, fine, we might have to crank up your, you know, anti-hyperglycemic a little bit. Instead, it was engaging on a regular routine basis, a real continuum of care look at people.
And that's how it should be. So for a lot of our listeners, a lot have health insurance through their employer.
Yes.
But maybe a little frustrated with the access to care, the cost of their care, despite having employer-based coverage. What advice do you have to them? Are they still eligible to go through HipNation and just experience healthcare in a way that eliminates the health insurance aspect of it? Or what advice do you have to them in general if they're not able to do that?
No, sure. So things we can do within HipNation, and we do have some people utilize us purely as a, you know, center of health and wellness, healthcare as it should be. And so we have a group that have employer sponsor insurance. It's where they are. We have patients with Medicare, you know, that utilize us because they realize that this is the time in life where you really need a quarterback of your team. And so we have people with insurance that's already set. And then, you know, the space that we also do, because we see ourselves as a goal of radically transforming our healthcare ecosystem into one that's based upon this type of a model. So we've actually gone out into the marketplace and we've got really unique insurance products that don't intersect with our healthcare ecosystem. They pair very nicely with it as a hand in glove. so that we can go out to individuals, to small businesses, and actually put them on insurance-based plans that really match up synergistically with us. We can go to employers, and we have self-funded and level-funded based plans where we can create internal insurance-based products that, again, work in synergy with us, not contrary to us. And when you get a health insurance plan that is paying for a lower-cost, higher-quality healthcare product, health insurance rates drop. So healthcare gets cheaper, health insurance gets cheaper. So we can create that whole solution across the board if that's available. And like I said, if some people are just employer-sponsored and they can't get out of that, then we're just a great adjunct to putting an investment where it's probably most important in your body.
Yeah. And where do you see like the future? Do you see this model growing? I am sure you hope that this model grows. Do you think we're at that point within our healthcare system where there's enough impasse, really, of where we're going with all of this? You know, do we, you know, there's so much controversy over which direction we're headed. Mm-hmm. Do you see this as being the right time, the right place, and this model growing?
I do. I see it. We're at a huge inflection point because if you look across the board in healthcare, the couple main players in healthcare, patients, most of them will tell you it's too expensive. They can't afford it. They have a hard time paying for insurance premiums, much less the high deductibles. So and most patients are not very happy with the connectivity, the engagement, the communication of healthcare. So patients are unhappy. Physicians are unhappy. You know, mm-hmm. We were talking about the physician burnout rate. You know, there was a Stanford study that just came out. 55% of physicians are burnout, 61% are primary. It's an epidemic. And they're burnout not from medicine, not from loving and caring for people. They're burnout because the system is obtrusive and it's waiting on their backs. So they're burnout. So there's a great inflection point. Employers who are paying for an awful lot of these health insurance premiums that are through the roof and healthcare costs that continue to rise every year, 18, 20% raises on an annual basis, it's unaffordable. So they're creating a large inflection point. So there's a big impetus towards change. And the way we can impact the price of care, the quality of care, by doing what we're doing, we have no doubt that this is going to be the platform for the next healthcare system to come. And then when you pair that with technological changes, personalized medicine, you know, the freeing up your healthcare system to actually look at the individual in front of you of going, how do I provide a better product for you? How do I create great customer relationship management tools? How do I reach into wearable devices, the Internet of Things, home monitoring systems? How do I have all that data pour into me as a physician in order to provide better care to you as an individual? That we can do that when we focus on the patient that's paying us. We can do that when the employer is paying us because now I'm not constrained by a third-party payer telling me whether or not they're going to pay for something. So the innovation space that comes with these types of changes is drastic. And so I have no doubt, a bit of an idealist and a visionary, but this is where we're going.
And, you know, that whole aspect of making the system patient-focused as opposed to system-focused mm-hmm. is where I think healthcare lags behind other industries by decades.
Yes.
Because a lot of what I think would make healthcare efficient for patients, as you just mentioned, is video conferencing.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times, you know, we simply need to check in and follow certain things. And some of those things can, you know, with technology today, you can even, you know, practically Skype and have a very authentic conversation with people virtually, and the travel time that saves. You know, there's so much innovation,
yes.
Not to mention the wearables, the apps that can do a lot of similar testing is what we can do in the office and transmit that to the doctor without the patient needing to travel, park, et cetera, leave work, wait in the waiting room, all the kind of inconveniences that come yes. with healthcare. And in Hip Nation, you do video conferencing. And what are some of the technologies that you're currently incorporating?
So, yeah, we use telemedicine. Again, if you're paying me as a membership, now the idea is that I can make healthcare convenient. You know, when the current payer system tells me that I'm not providing care to you unless you're sitting in front of me in my brick and mortar office, well, you and I both know that's pretty silly. Most things can be managed in the out, you know, when somebody's home.
Well, it's billing driven. There's no question about that.
So we free that up. It creates that great resource. We do secure messaging internally through texting and email messaging that has a communication lines that are open. It's how we communicate and talk with our friends. I see our physicians as just partners and caregivers that are great advocates to walk along in the healthcare system and help, as you mentioned before, teach you about health and wellness. You do that through communicating and engaging with people. We've got a cognitive machine behind our health IT solution. We're not an electronic health record system. I don't care about using a 99213 as a billing mechanism. I don't care about the number of review of systems that you check to make sure you can code at a certain level. All that goes away. And so now we can take all of the data and information that's coming into our system and make it facile for our patients and physicians to put information in, allows our patients to engage. And all the data that comes in now, we've got a cognitive machine within our system that allows us to continue to evaluate that data on a regular routine basis to look for hotspotting, look for trends, you know, look for outliers, you know, find patients that maybe we're not managing the way we need to, because we've got great data and a continuum of data that's going in, not just episodic data. So it allows us to have doctors that can now be better doctors because they're empowered with information. And so it just makes it so much more fun. Everybody talks about data, but the problem is the data has to be actionable. And if you're a doctor running around trying to see 25, 30 people a day, we talked about it, finishing at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, spending 2 hours on your electronic health record system to make sure you check the right boxes, you don't have time to sit back and take a look and evaluate somebody's data that's coming in to really to determine whether or not maybe they need a greater intervention in their life. So we need actionable data. You do that by freeing the physicians up to see fewer patients, spend more time, and engage with their patients.
Yeah, and you know, to your point, as we had talked about previously, that one of the most gratifying things that we do is to kind of be a coach. As you know, we had talked, and I'd mentioned earlier, the Latin for doctor is to teach, and we've taken that element almost out of it in the healthcare system. And you know, we're really there to help people make educated decisions and be a resource, and this enables it. Now, some of the listeners to our podcast are not going to be based here in Atlanta. They may be somewhere in the country or international, but may be interested in a healthcare model where they once again feel that the healthcare system's working with them and for them, as opposed to feeling really frustrated and on the sidelines.
Yes.
Do you have any options for people that can remotely be a part of this instead of people who can actually make it to the office?
At this point, we don't, because I do believe in touch. We do believe in relationships. Now, we once our patients engage and participate with our physicians, they, again, don't need to be brick and mortar and engage unnecessarily. You know, we want that relationship to happen, but we are relationship-based. But what I would recommend to them, and the beauty of what's going on in healthcare right now, is the first biggest move in healthcare trend is employment. People moving under the auspices of hospitals. And unfortunately, that oftentimes means seeing more patients, following, you know, the meat mentality of just having to see more and more patients. And so some systems are doing it better than others, but that mentality exists. But the second biggest move in healthcare right now is physicians stepping out of the healthcare system going, I went to medical school because my job was to love and take care of people. And they're stepping out and they're setting up direct primary care practices. So people can actually go out and look online and see, is there a direct primary care provider physician in my community that's near me that I can actually engage and participate with them? Because that revolution is just beginning, but it's growing on a monthly and annually basis.
Yeah, and it's nice, I think, for people to know there are options, and that if we can, you know, maybe take a step back. You know, I always think of when healthcare, as you mentioned, was more catastrophic, and that's why we needed insurance, and the rest really worked on the barter system, right?
Right.
So I would be very happy with a chicken, you know, and if it's really complicated, maybe two chickens. But sometimes kind of taking that step back to the more old-fashioned way, you know, I think it can help us help our patients a little bit more. And what advice do you have for our patients who are frustrated? Like, any final thoughts on, you know, things that they should look for when they're looking for alternatives to their current healthcare, or places to look? You know, obviously HipNation. But if they're not here locally, what should they look for? How should they even begin that process?
Yeah, certainly if you're not locally and trying to find, I am a truly dye-in-the-wool believer of direct primary care. We call it concierge medicine for the little guy.
Yeah.
Meaning that everybody can afford. You'll find some direct primary care practices out there that charge $50 to $60 a month for 100% access. Your primary care doctor, your doctor's cell phone, the no co-pays or cost sharing when you go visit, no deductibles, no screening protocols, no insurance terms where you're not allowed because of pre-existing conditions. All that stuff goes away. And so I certainly would tell people to go out, Google direct primary care near me, see if they can find primary care physicians. They're still small in number, but they're growing on a regular basis. So I'm a big, big believer in that. Outside of that, and you see this as well yourself, Sharon, find a doctor. If the system is not available, somebody isn't available near you, you should be engaged with your doctor on a regular basis. And I don't think we should accept any more. And we talked about a patient earlier. We shouldn't accept any more that when we go into a physician's office and we have a list of problems that are there that we have to have a conversation with, and your doctor goes, I'm sorry, I only have time for one problem to deal with today. I don't think we should be accepting that anymore. And we shouldn't be stuck with physicians that are following that mentality. And it's not like they want to. That's the difficulty. That's the struggle that I have, is that doctors don't want to be that kind of providing that kind of healthcare, but they just have to. But I would look for a physician that's willing to sit down and have a real conversation and look at the whole of you as an individual. And you find somebody that's doing that, you hold on to them like there's no tomorrow, because they're unique.
Yeah. So, and thank you so much for the work that you're doing. I think that it takes innovation, energy, that ability to bang your head against the wall a few times until you finally make progress. And thank you for taking the lead role in starting these alternative models, because I think if we wait for a solution, it's either going to be very far down the road, or it may not be much better than what we currently have, just unfortunately just a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And this need for people within the system to come up with solutions as in a way that we live and experience every day is going to be far more effective than others from the outside trying to make certain assumptions for patients as well as for people involved in healthcare. So thank you for your effort, your energy, your vision. I hope this grows and that this really becomes the new way that we deliver care.
Well, thanks, Sharon. I appreciate the platform to be able to sit down and have a conversation with you. It's always fun to converse, and we're really excited about what we are doing and what we can do to put healthcare back to where it was supposed to be: patient-centered, physician-driven, to provide great care to those that we're blessed to take care of.
Hear, hear. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Whole Health Cure is brought to you by the Lifestyle Medicine and Wellness Center at Emory. For more information about wellness assessments, classes, and other resources, please visit our website. This material is copyrighted by Emory University.